from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
That way, that versatility, absolutely. Yeah, there is a lot of similarity that way. Rodgers is a really good athlete. Moves his feet really well. You saw that out here. You see it on tape, and then you see it in person, because I hadn't watched him work out. I saw him in person in the championship game a little bit, but that's different. To see him in person out here moving his feet, I'm like, okay, he's everything that we thought he would be athletically. So that's a big part of it.
It's Ravens head coach John Harbaugh talking about second-round draft pick, number 62 overall out of the University of Washington. Offensive tackle Roger Rosengarten, who comes in with expectations, Vinny. But as we talked about Nate Wiggins last hour, expectations high for him to be an instant impact guy. Should we temper expectations for Rosengarten, at least for now?
Just from what I've seen at the mini camp, Bob, and that's without pads on. You see the athleticism and stuff. But I'm nervous. And Harb mentioned the national championship game, and that's a game that scared the crap out of me about this kid. You know, because Michigan, they didn't have, I mean, the year before, they got a first and second round rusher. They got, you know, first and second round rusher. And, you know, now I don't know what their rushers are, but I mean, they had Rosengarten in the backfield the whole day, and that one, he was horrible in that game, to be totally honest. So, made me extremely nervous. And then, Bob, the other thing, because I saw him get pushed back all the time. So I said, all right, when I get out there, I want to see what the body looks like. And there was no definition. You know, it was like, crap. You know, because is he a guy that can put his foot in the ground and anchor? And then out at the mini camp practices, I saw Malik Ham take him and push him right back. And it looked like it was the Michigan game. So we got to see what happens when pads come on, because that's going to be a huge role. If he can't anchor, he can't start for a while. That's going to be the thing. So Rodgers from Washington, 33.5 arm, 9 5/8 hand, senior, 6'5", 308, ran 4.92, 173.10, which is excellent. 30-inch vertical jump, very good. 9.5 standing broad jump, good. 4.6 short shuttle. So all the athleticism stuff is good. He's a 4-star recruit from Colorado. Now, in high school, he played D-line and basketball and baseball. So there goes the, you know, I mean, if you're playing baseball and basketball and doing all that, you got to be a pretty good athlete. And at Washington, he had 28 career starts at right tackle. and you say, okay, at right tackle, Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback's a lefty, so basically he's playing like left tackle for them. So his strengths, he's got size, tough, looks to finish, quick pass set, good punch, good pass set, good hand placement, gets two-arm lockout, slides his feet well and pass, smart, picks up stunts and twists well. He can pull, run, and turn up. He hustles downfield. He can work up to the second level, to the linebacker level. Show some strength in the run game. Lower body strength to stack at the point. And has good upper body strength and strong punch. Weakness. Plays a little high. Must bend his knees more in pass. He can get driven on the bull rush when he's too high. Short arms hurt him some. You'd like 34 inches or longer. His were 33 and a half. He'll bend at the waist and lose the man on the outside some. Gives ground in pass. Average base and balance in pass pro. Versus Michigan, gave him help. Not on road games, not a road grader in the run stuff. Some problems recovering in pass, and I saw that at the Ravens too, where he jumped outside, he couldn't recover back inside. So, you know, some of the things that I saw here, but it all, I liked him in a couple of the games, but then when you put on the Michigan game, which national championship game, biggest year, biggest game of his year, and he was a dud. In summary, this kid's smart, tough, that has some improvement he needs with lower body strength and anchor. And same thing I saw at the Ravens, lower body strength, anchor. That's the whole answer for him, and that's going to be all we're going to talk about when we watch him in pads. Not great knee bender, has good punch and good feet. His short arms hurt him some, but he has good punch and pass. In the NFL, will need a lot of work playing lower, or he's going to be in the quarterback's lap. And that's going to be the thing. You know, can he get used to playing low? Because like Voorhees, fundamentally, and maybe, probably because it's his second year, Voorhees fundamentally is like excellent. Whereas Roger, he gets high. And when you get high, you get back on your heels. When you get back on your heels, you can't anchor. You get driven right back into the quarterback's lap. And that can't be the case here. Do they need him to start, Bob? They need somebody to take control of it when the pads come on. Is it Falele? Is it him? Is it Josh Jones? Who's going to take that job? Because right now, nobody is taking it and is totally up for grabs. I don't think the coaches have any idea. I think the position Harbs was talking about where he says, you know, we want the O-line settled in the first couple weeks. I think and he said, I feel good about it. Maybe we have to take one position to the preseason. I think the one they got to take to the preseason, Bob, is going to be the offensive right tackle, because I don't think that is going to be set. And my gut tells me that Rosengarten, maybe by week 7, 8, 9, 10, they're hopefully that he can come in and get some work. I'll be shocked if he's starting right away. Bob, if he is, I hope he is, and he looks much better in pads, but I think he's going to take some time.
Sala's going to be guard, right? Voorhees, yes. As we've talked many times.
Left guard.
Left guard, that's his job to lose. But on the flip side, hey, Rosengarten wins the job. Hey, congratulations to you.
No doubt.
You've earned it. But what does it say about Falele at this stage, 3 years in, and he's getting beaten out by a rookie? Second round pick, but still.
Yeah, his is all about fundamentals, and his is about, you know, you're 370 pounds. You got to be able to play stack plays, you know, not be sucking wind. And, you know, so if that's getting down to 330, getting your body in shape, getting right, that's what you got to do. And he has not taken a job. He has not solidified anything. You know, I mean, they got him playing guard too. So would they have taken Rosengarten in the second round if they thought Falele could start at right tackle? Probably, no.
Sure.
You're not going to waste a pick like that when you need pass rushers and other things. So it's kind of, they hope Rosengarten can take it. Otherwise, there's going to be some issues. And I think I've said this before, Bob, it would not shock me against Kansas City if Macari is starting at right tackle, at least early.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan NFL Lunch here on this Monday. The offensive line concerns. Minus three starters from last year. You have an all-pro at center, Linderbaum. You have a former all-pro at left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, who we all agree, we think, health permitting, is going to have a pretty strong season. But when does this thing go from a question mark to a genuine concern for Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh, offensive line? Their preseason opener is coming up a month from tomorrow against Philadelphia.
I would say after two preseason games, because, Bob, there's other than Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley, they're all playing a ton. All those other guys got to play, and they got to play a lot because a lot of them need reps. A lot of them need work, and you're in a competition. Somebody go take that job, and that's what they got to have happen. Well, three guys got to go take that job, and I guess Voorhees has got to prove that he can't do it, because that would be a huge disappointment if one of the guards is not who they think he is, Bob, they're going to be in some trouble. They'll be looking.
I'm going to ask you a question here before we hit the break that I asked Eric at home earlier in the show. Aside from Lamar Jackson, we're talking about July 8th, most important player on the Ravens is who, in your opinion? Doesn't matter what side of the ball, who's the second most important player on that team?
Roquan. I just think because he's the quarterback of the team. And he's the green dot guy. He's the leader of that group. And he's going to have to probably do a lot more because Zach Orr's never called a defense. So he may have more on his plate. Hey, Bob, you know what? I was talking to one of my friends today. You know who's wearing the green dot at Pittsburgh?
Patrick Queen?
No, that rookie Wilson from NC State, the linebacker.
Okay, but he's a little on the older side, right?
I think he was like a fifth-year guy, but he was always hurt.
Yeah, injuries.
But he's a hell of a player. He was like a tackling machine, but it kind of surprised me because I said, who's wearing the green dot? He says, the rookie.
So no Patrick Queen. Maybe he has found his niche where he's not going to have to be the Mike linebacker or whatever it is, that he's allowed to roam free and wreak havoc. But to your point about Roquan, like Lamar elevates everyone on the offense, he does the same thing with some of these defensive guys. Patrick Queen is Exhibit A.
Yeah. Who did you think it was, Bob?
It's him or Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
But especially given the lack of depth at safety right now, too.
I would say just because...
Maybe Derrick Henry.
Yeah, we'll see. But, I mean, the thing with Roquan is look what he did for Queen, and you're going to ask him to do that for Trenton Simpson, too.
What do you think, Nolan? Second most important player on the Ravens. Invaluable, yeah. Irreplaceable, sure. Yeah, we'll go with all of those.
Yeah, it's got to be Roquan. I mean, that it's hard to argue against that. I guess to throw another name out there for just the sake of conversation, maybe not the most important, but one that I'm a little most anxious about, or one that's going to reveal the most to me, would be Ronnie Stanley at left tackle. What version of Ronnie Stanley are we getting? That's going to be huge. And, you know, you're going to know right away, I think, with him. You know, tough matchup there week one. You know, Chris Jones, he'll be moving all around, but he'll get some reps against him. You know, if he's able to hold up and start to resemble the guy that he used to be, we can all take a deep, you know, sigh of relief. The rest of the O-line can come together from there.
But if not,
but if
Norm,
he stinks,
that's what I was just going to say. If he's not good,
man.
If he's not good, they don't have a left tackle. That's the thing. He has to be. He doesn't have to be great. Just be like left tackle number 15, 16 in the league.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, American League East report. Busy weekend, of course, in the division. Not so much tonight, but we'll talk about the schedule moving forward. Updated standings as well. Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com at 1:30. Talk about this weekend that was in Oakland. Last time the Orioles and A's will ever play, unless Oakland gets hot and makes the playoffs. I don't think they are, by the way. But you get where we're coming from. And we'll look ahead to the Cubs and the Yankees. Final series before the All-Star break.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
58-80-105-7, the Fan. American League East report here on this Monday. Orioles win yesterday 6-3 in Oakland. The finale for the Birds against the A's. Anthony Santander, Heston Kerstad hit first inning homers. Heston's was a 3-run shot. Orioles get out to a 4-0 lead. Then Grayson Rodriguez made it hold up and the bullpen. So he picks up his 11th win of the season. Craig Kimbrell goes a scoreless ninth. Picks up his 23rd save, his 4th save in the month of July. So after getting destroyed on Saturday night, and they got destroyed 19-8, Orioles bounce back, win themselves yet another series, and they come back home to Baltimore for the Cubs and the Yankees before the All-Star break. Speaking of the All-Star break, 3 All-Stars, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman voted in. Corbin Burns was named as a pitcher, could possibly be the starting pitcher for the American League squad. But Grayson Rodriguez, Jordan Westberg, Craig Kimbrell, Ryan Mountcastle, Anthony Santander, all had strong cases to be in the Midsummer Classic. And we'll see if there's an injury or a back out or whatever it might be. But the Orioles tied for Cleveland. Well, Cleveland by percentage points, best record in the American League. But you get the point. Birds 3 games up in the division. Only 3 All-Stars representing here in Arlington. Last year, the Orioles had 4 All-Stars. So the Orioles do go 4-2 out west through Seattle, first place team there. And then the A's would have been hapless. But, you know, they can hit home runs, as the Orioles found out all too well on Saturday. Out there, it went Oakland Alameda County Coliseum is what we're going to call it, as the Orioles do their little finale there. A lot of history between the two teams at that stadium came to an end yesterday afternoon. In the division, however, outside of Baltimore, Texas taking on the Tampa Bay Rays, and a stud shortstop himself, Seager, breaking out whipping sticks against Tampa.
And smashes that ball deep out to right. They gave Seager an opening, and he jumped right in there. A 3-run blast to make it a huge inning.
Corey Seager, 3-run shot, as you heard. Bally Sports, 13-2 Final score is the Texas Rangers sweep the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays have been playing some good baseball, but ran into a buzzsaw yesterday and over the weekend against the defending World Series champion. Speaking of Seattle, who the Orioles took 2 out of 3 from, Toronto went out there and got a little extra inning baseball. And for the Blue Jays, base hits went in their favor.
Base hit right field. Here comes Guerrero, and he will score. Varsho to second on the play. The Blue Jays have the lead.
Dalton Varsho with a hit in the 10th inning there. That was Dan Schulman on Sportsnet. 5-4 was your final score there in extras as Toronto takes 2 out of 3 from the first place Mariners last night. National TV. Pitchers duel between the Yankees and the Red Sox until it wasn't.
Single and a homer for Devers, and this one is driven to center field. He's watching it. He thinks he did it again. Oh, my goodness. Rafael Devers here at Yankee Stadium, his second of the night.
Oops, he did it again. Carl Ravage, ESPN on the call. 3-0. Final score as the Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Yankees over the weekend. Move within 4.5 games of New York for second place in the AL East. We'll get to the standings here in a second. No AL East teams in action tonight, but tomorrow the Yankees are at Tampa. 6:50 first pitch. Then New York comes to Baltimore before the break. The A's, they're at Boston, Fenway Park, 7:10. Toronto's at San Francisco, 9:45 first pitch. And then Chicago, the Cubs here in Baltimore for a 3-game set. All 3 6:35 games. Saw some trade rumor stuff. Speaking of the Blue Jays, Kevin Gausman could be on the move. The Orioles were not one of the teams linked to him. The Astros, reunion with the Braves, perhaps, could be in play for Kevin Gausman if the Blue Jays are looking to make a move. As we talked about earlier with Scott Miller from MLB Network Radio, Chris Bassett might be more of an Oriole target as opposed to the highly paid Kevin Gausman. Would be nice to see him come back to the place that drafted him 12 years ago. Let that sink in, Nolan. 12 years ago, the Orioles drafted Kevin Gausman, number 4 overall, out of LSU. It's your American League East report and beyond. Your standings update here on this Monday. Orioles 57-33, 106-plus run differential. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. They're 29-17 at home, where they're going to be for the rest of the week. 3 games up on the Yankees. We're 55-37. Plus 101 run differential. They're 5-15 in their last 20 games. They've lost 7 of 10. As we said, they just lose another series. This one to the Red Sox, who are 49-40 on the year, plus 36 run differential there. 6-4 their last 10 games. If the playoffs started today, which they don't, they'd be in. Tampa, they just got swept. They fall below 500. Toronto's kind of been there for a while, even though they just took 2 in a row from the Mariners. Out west, Cleveland, they got a nice little lead there in the AL Central. 6 games to be exact. They're 5-5, however, their last 10 games. They have won 2 straight. The Twins, they're having a good year quietly. They won 2 in a row, 7 of 10. Kansas City, they are 49-43, so they're sniffing around that wild card. Out west, Seattle maintains the 2-game lead over the Houston Astros, who just dropped 2 in a row at Minnesota. Texas, they won 3 straight. They're clanking around. Out in the NL East, the Phillies, 8 games up on the Braves. Milwaukee's 5 up on the St. Louis Cardinals there in the NL Central. And the Dodgers, 7.5 games up on the San Diego Padres. Wild card teams, if the playoffs started today again, Yankees, Twins, Red Sox in the American League. Kansas City, 1.5 games out there. Houston's actually closer to first than they are to the wild card right now in the American League. In the National League, your wild card teams would be the Braves, Cardinals, and the San Diego Padres, Diamondbacks, Mets, 2 back. Then everybody else kind of clanking around in that 5 to 5.5 out of reach area there. We'll come back, talk more Orioles with Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. All-Star snubbage. Does Rich have a problem with only 3 birds making the All-Star game? And we'll look ahead to the trade deadline as well, see if he's got any information creeping through the warehouse. That it's a fun out trip with Nolan McGraw. And then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock here on this Monday. It's Vinny and Haney, Nolan, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We'll be hearing from him in a few minutes when we take a trip to his funhouse for the final time today. Orioles are off. They're going 4-2 through Seattle and Oakland. Three games up in the division. That is the American League East. Cubs in town, last place tomorrow. And then the Yankees, second place. They'll be in here right before the break and here to talk about the Orioles as they've been chugging along like the monster team that they can be. Getting ready for that break so we can all take five from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Let's welcome in, as we do every week, Rich Dubroff. Rich, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing great, Bob. How's it going, Vinny?
Good, Rich.
All right, Rich, before we get to the All-Star snubs and look ahead to this week against Chicago and then the Yankees and the trade deadline and everything that goes along with that, we had someone send a text during the via the Plaza Port text line asking when the Baltimore City contingent will host this All-Star game again. It's been since, what, 93 since that happened, and it hasn't, what was it, 58, I believe, before that. I mean, I guess there's some political posturing that had taken place before, but with new ownership now in place with David Rubenstein, could an All-Star game be in our future, Rich Dubroff?
Well, it's great that that question was asked, because that was in my mailbag today. Hey, that was my mailbag question. Yes, I think that an All-Star game is coming to Baltimore. It may be a few years. There are no openings until 2027. You have Atlanta in 2025 and Philadelphia in 2026. So 2027 is the earliest. It may be a little later than that, because the stadium is going to be refurbished. There are going to be all kinds of improvements made, and I think the Orioles want to wait, make sure those improvements are completed before they have the All-Star game. So let's guess here, 2028 or 2029, which sounds like for only 4 or 5 years away. So I think an All-Star game is coming back to Baltimore.
Well, there's good news there. Now, as far as the All-Star game this year, three Orioles going to Arlington, and two starters voted in, Gunnar Nathalie, as we know, and then Corbin Burnes was pegged to be part of the starting rotation, maybe even starting the game, depending on whether or not he goes, given the fact that he has just become the father of twins there. But we get into it, the snubs, the overlooks, and the Westbergs, and the Graysons, the Kimbrels. Remember how everybody wanted him gone 2 months ago? Rich Dubroff, now we're talking about him getting hosed out of the All-Star game. So how did this go over in that Oriole clubhouse, the fact that only three made it to the All-Star game when they're arguably the best team in the American League, if not all of baseball right now?
Well, I wasn't there. I wasn't there in Oakland this weekend, so I can't tell you from firsthand, but certainly from listening to the interviews, I think that most guys thought that the Orioles should have gotten a lot more, and I know obviously the fans thought that they'd get a lot more, but it was weird. I mean, I think that the biggest snub was Kimbrel, because I know Jim Palmer on the broadcast yesterday talked about how he was having a much better year than Clay Holmes. And certainly in the last 10 days or so, you know, Kimbrel's just been unhittable. And I think that, you know, Kimbrel was the biggest snob. Westberg deserves to be in the All-Star game, but because of the rule that teams have to have, you know, all teams have to be represented, it made it hard. There are a lot of third basemen who are having really good years. Isaac Paredes on the Rays is having a really good year, and you know the Rays had to be represented, and you know that those kinds of things make it difficult for the Orioles and other good teams to get as many players on the team as you know people think they deserve. And you know, Rodriguez sort of came, you know, has come on in the last couple of weeks. I don't know when the voting was for players. You know, because the players choose a lot of the All-Star representatives. So I don't know when that was, but you know, Rodriguez has really come on. And I know we like to talk about how wins aren't as important as they used to be, but he's got 11 wins, and he pitches deep into games, and he pitches deep enough so that he can get a decision. You know, he's won six out of his last seven. So there are, you know, the three that you mentioned are certainly deserving, and it wouldn't be a surprise if one or two of them got on, if there are injury withdrawals, which always happen. You know, and pitchers who start on the Sunday before the All-Star game don't pitch. So there are openings, and hopefully the Orioles will get another one or two.
Yeah, who do I call to complain, by the way? I want to be a Karen in this one. I want to talk to your... Anyway, he's Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Now they're back home, the Orioles. Three games up in the American League East. The Cubs come in, and they're in last place in the Central, but they're one of the, 13 National League teams still sniffing some wild card hopes here. But it looks like, and I don't think, Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, they've announced their rotation, the Cubs, for this week. But the way it's trending, it looks like the Orioles, at the very least, are going to get their three best starting pitchers here in Chicago.
Yeah, and, the Orioles and the Cubs are always an interesting matchup. They they don't get to see each other very often. And I remember it's a long time ago. In 2014, the Orioles went into Wrigley Field and they were having a great year. And it was in August, and the Orioles just doing great. And then the Cubs beat them three straight. So you'd hope that the Orioles would continue playing as well as they did when they were on the West Coast, but they all have major league players, and even bad teams like the White Sox have even improved some in the last last few weeks. So it's really hard to look at a schedule and say, oh yeah, those are sure wins, because look how we talked about how difficult June was going to be for the Orioles. We talked about that several times, and it turned out the Orioles did great in June. So far, they're doing well in July. I just think that they're a really good team, and I don't know that it matters who they play right now.
Hey, Rich, what's your confidence level in Irvin?
My confidence level in Irvin as a starter right now would not be very high. He seems like he's run out of gas. They put him in the bullpen, and he just served eight innings the other day. He gave up five runs in five innings, but the game was already at hand by the time he got in there. He's gonna have to pitch a lot better to make sure that he's part of the club going forward. Last year they put him into the bullpen, into long relief, and it really helped him. And maybe that can be the case here. But right now, I would say he's the 12th or 13th pitcher on a 12 or on a 13th pitcher roster. So he's going to have to improve.
Hey, Rich, your feelings on Kerstead, because there's always talk of him being involved in a trade. Is he coming now where maybe he's playing well enough where he's not going to be included in a trade?
Well, he certainly is. He certainly is playing well. And the important thing is that, Anthony Santander is going to be a free agent after this year. His future with the Orioles is uncertain. Hayes and Mullins have another year to go for free agency. They're going to need, Stowers and Kerstad and Kowser because they're important parts of the team, important parts of the team's future. And who knows what they're going to have to give up to get a frontline starter. If they can get a frontline starter without giving up too many of those top prospects, their top five or six, then that's great. If they could get by with just giving up one of them, that would be good. But we'll see. It's going to be a fascinating next few weeks to see what the Orioles end up giving up. I don't expect them to make a move until very, very close to the July 30th deadline. I don't think they're going to make a preemptive move. Though, I remember a few years ago, when Elias was starting out, Andrew Kashner was traded pretty early in July. So, if they can find a deal now, that's great. I think that they're going to wait until teams like the Cubs and the Reds and the Pirates and maybe the Mets and Toronto, those teams that, you know, haven't decided that they're the Texas Rangers too, teams that haven't really decided if they're buyers or sellers, decide that they're sellers, so that increases the market and, you know, gives the Orioles more players to choose from.
Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Rich, last thing for you. How touching would a reunion with now All-Star Tanner Scott be for the Orioles here?
Yeah, you know, a number of people have brought that up. First of all, congratulations to Tanner Scott. I'm really pleased for him. I think that would be, you know, it would not surprise me if they got, you know, if they got Tanner Scott. And I think he'd do even better with the new wall.
Rich Dubroff, what's happening at BaltimoreBaseball.com?
Well, we have continuing coverage of the Orioles every day. Peter Schmuck with columns, and now John Eisenberg with his bird tapes every Wednesday.
Rich, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
There he is, Rich Dubroff. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access, take it over at 2. Orioles are off today. Cubs coming to town. Orioles 3 All-Stars. I think a lot of us have a problem with that. Yeah, I remember last week, we're like, I don't know any of the U.S. guys playing tennis anymore. Well, we knew a new one. Well, Francis Tiafoe played well last week in defeat. But how about Taylor Fritz? Takes out Zverev, the number 4 seed in 5 sets. He was down 0-2.
Yeah.
Then won the last 3, 6-3 in the finale. So Taylor Fritz, 13th seed, advances to the round of 8 now out here at Wimbledon. So here we go. We've gotten acquainted with a couple of U.S. men's tennis players and doing some really good things out there as, representing the old U.S. of A. So that's some good news there. Orioles are off tonight. Ravens rookies report in less than a week from today. Lamar.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
5880, 1057, The Fan here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We'll be hearing from him in a few minutes when we take a trip to his funhouse for the final time today. Orioles are off. They're going 4-2 through Seattle and Oakland. Three games up in the division. That is the American League East. Cubs in town, last place tomorrow. And then the Yankees, second place. They'll be in here right before the break and here to talk about the Orioles as they've been chugging along like the monster team that they can be. Getting ready for that break so we can all take five from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Let's welcome in, as we do every week, Rich Dubroff. Rich, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing great, Bob. How's it going, Vinny?
Good, Rich.
All right, Rich, before we get to the All-Star snubs and look ahead to this week against Chicago and then the Yankees and the trade deadline and everything that goes along with that, we had someone send a text during the via the Plaza Four text line asking when the Baltimore City contingent will host this All-Star game again. It's been since, what, 93 since that happened, and it hasn't, what was it, 58, I believe, before that. I mean, I guess there's some political posturing that had taken place before, but with new ownership now in place with David Rubenstein, could an All-Star game be in our future, Rich Dubroff?
Well, it's great that that question was asked, because that was in my mailbag today. Hey. That was my mailbag question. Yes, I think that an All-Star game is coming to Baltimore. It may be a few years. There are no openings until 2027. You have Atlanta in 2025 and Philadelphia in 2026. So 2027 is the earliest. It may be a little later than that, because the stadium is going to be refurbished. There are going to be all kinds of improvements made, and I think the Orioles want to wait, make sure those improvements are completed before they have the All-Star game. So let's guess here, 2028 or 2029, which sounds like for 4 or 5 years away. So I think an All-Star game is coming back to Baltimore.
Well, there's good news there. Now, as far as the All-Star game this year, three Orioles going to Arlington, and two starters voted in, Gunnar and Adley, as we know, and then Corbin Burnes was pegged to be part of the starting rotation, maybe even starting the game, depending on whether or not he goes, given the fact that he has just become the father of twins there. But we get into it, the snubs, the overlooks, and the Westbergs, and the Graysons, the Kimbrels. Remember how everybody wanted him gone 2 months ago? Rich Dubroff, now we're talking about him getting hosed out of the All-Star game. So how did this go over in that Oriole clubhouse, the fact that only three made it to the All-Star game when they're arguably the best team in the American League, if not all of baseball right now?
Well, I wasn't there. I wasn't there in Oakland this weekend, so I can't tell you firsthand, but certainly from listening to the interviews, I think that most guys thought that the Orioles should have gotten a lot more, and I know obviously the fans thought that they'd get a lot more, but it was weird. I mean, I think that the biggest snub was Kimbrel, because I know Jim Palmer on the broadcast yesterday talked about how he was having a much better year than Clay Holmes. And certainly in the last 10 days or so, Kimbrel's just been unhittable. And I think that, you know, Kimbrel was the biggest snob. Westberg deserves to be in the All-Star game, but because of the rule that teams have to have, all teams have to be represented, it made it hard. There are a lot of third basemen who are having really good years. Isaac Paredes on the Rays is having a really good year, and you know the Rays had to be represented, and you know that those kinds of things make it difficult for the Orioles and other good teams to get as many players on the team as you know people think they deserve. And you know, Rodriguez sort of has come on in the last couple of weeks. I don't know when the voting was for players. Because the players choose a lot of the All-Star representatives. So I don't know when that was, but you know, Rodriguez has really come on. And I know we like to talk about how wins aren't as important as they used to be, but he's got 11 wins, and he pitches deep into games, and he pitches deep enough so that he can get a decision. You know, he's won six out of his last seven. So there are, you know, the three that you mentioned are certainly deserving, and it wouldn't be a surprise if one or two of them got on, you know, if there are injury withdrawals, which always happen, you know, and pitchers who start on the Sunday before the All-Star game don't pitch. So there are openings, and hopefully the Orioles will get another one or two.
Yeah, who do I call to complain, by the way? I want to be a Karen in this one. I want to talk to your... Anyway, he's Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. Now they're back home, the Orioles. Three games up in the American League East. The Cubs come in, and they're in last place in the Central, but they're one of the, oh, I guess, 13 National League teams still sniffing some wild card hopes here. But it looks like, and I don't think, Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, they've announced their rotation, the Cubs, for this week. But the way it's trending, it looks like the Orioles, at the very least, are going to get their three best starting pitchers here in Chicago.
Yeah, and, you know, the Orioles have... You know, the Orioles and the Cubs are always an interesting matchup. They you know, they don't get to see each other very often. And I remember in 2014, the Orioles went into Wrigley Field and they were having a great year. And it was in August, and the Orioles just doing great. And then the Cubs beat them three straight. So you know, you'd hope that the Orioles would continue playing as well as they did when they were on the West Coast, but you know, they all have major league players, and even bad teams like the White Sox have even improved some in the last in the last few weeks. So it's really hard to look at a schedule and say, oh yeah, those are sure wins, because you know, look how we talked about how difficult June was going to be for the Orioles. We talked about that several times, and it turned out the Orioles did great in June. So far, they're doing well in July. I just think they're a really good team, and I don't know that it matters who they play right now.
Hey, Rich, what's your confidence level in Irvin?
My confidence level in Irvin as a starter right now would not be very high. He seems like he's run out of gas. You know, they put him in the bullpen, and you know, he just served eight innings the other day. He gave up what, five runs in five innings, but the game was already at hand by the time he got in there. You know, he's gonna have to pitch a lot better to make so that he can make sure that he's part of the club going forward. You know, last year they put him into the bullpen, into long relief, and it really helped him. And maybe that can be the case here. But right now, I would say he's, you know, the 12th or 13th pitcher on a 12 or on a 13th pitcher roster. So he's going to have to improve.
Hey, Rich, your feelings on Kerstedt, you know, because there's always talk of him being involved in a trade. Is he coming now where maybe he's playing well enough where he's not going to be included in a trade?
Well, he certainly is. He certainly is playing well. And the important thing is that, you know, Anthony Santander is going to be a free agent after this year. His future with the Orioles is uncertain. Hayes and Mullins have another year to go for free agency. They're going to need, you know, Stowers and Kerstedt and Kowser because they're important parts of the team, important parts of the team's future. And who knows what they're going to have to give up to get a frontline starter. If they can get a frontline starter without giving up too many of those, top prospects, their top five or six, then that's great. You know, if they could get by with just giving up one of them, that would be, that would be good, but we'll see. It's going to be a fascinating next few weeks to see what the Orioles end up giving up. I don't expect them to make a move until, you know, very, very close to the July 30th deadline. I don't think they're going to make a preemptive move. Though, I remember a few years ago, when Elias was starting out, Andrew Kashner was traded pretty early in July. So, if they can find a deal now, that's great. I think that they're going to wait until teams like the Cubs and the Reds and the Pirates and maybe the Mets and Toronto, those teams that, haven't decided that they're the Texas Rangers too, teams that haven't really decided if they're buyers or sellers, decide that they're sellers, so that increases the market and, gives the Orioles, more players to choose from.
Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Rich, last thing for you. How touching would a reunion with now All-Star Tanner Scott be for the Orioles here?
Yeah, a number of people have brought that up. First of all, congratulations to Tanner Scott. I'm really pleased for him. I think that would be, it would not surprise me if they got Tanner Scott. And I think he'd do even better with the new wall.
Rich Dubroff, what's happening at BaltimoreBaseball.com?
Well, we have continuing coverage of the Orioles every day. Peter Schmuck with columns, and now John Eisenberg with his bird tapes every Wednesday.
Rich, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
There he is, Rich Dubroff. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access, take it over at 2. Orioles are off today. Cubs coming to town. Orioles 3 All-Stars. I think a lot of us have a problem with that. Yeah, I remember last week, we're like, I don't know any of the U.S. guys playing tennis anymore. Well, we knew a new one. Well, Francis Tiafoe played well last week in defeat. But how about Taylor Fritz? Takes out Zverev, the number 4 seed in 5 sets. He was down 0-2.
Yeah.
Then won the last 3, 6-3 in the finale. So Taylor Fritz, 13th seed, advances to the round of 8 now out here at Wimbledon. So here we go. We've gotten acquainted with a couple of U.S. men's tennis players and doing some really good things out there as, representing the old U.S. of A. So that's some good news there. Orioles are off tonight. Ravens rookies report in less than a week. A week from today, Lamar Jackson will be at one winning drive. Now, the media does not get access until the 20th, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it 20th or 21st, I think?
Well, practice doesn't start till the 21st.
Yeah.
But I don't know when rookies report if... I'm trying to find the email real quick. If Harbs or select players will get up there and speak at the podium. Because I know you can't watch training camp until the vets are there.
Right. So, Ed, doesn't really matter too much, I guess.
It does. I'm sick of looking at this cut sheet for the last.
Yeah. Well, that's a Saturday they would report, and they practice Sunday, so we'll have plenty of stuff on that Monday.
But a week from today, Lamar Jackson, quarterbacks, and injured vets report and get ready for the start of training camp 2024. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people before Inside Access takes over?
No, the people, they want to talk here. A lot of texts.
Let's do it. Fine. Huh?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter says, I would hate to see Heston Kjerstad traded after just now getting a real chance at the major league level. He's showing exactly why he was drafted where he was years ago. Not the traditional route to the big leagues, but he is the real deal.
I mean, the kid had a very, very serious health scare. He had myocarditis.
Yeah.
In the throes of COVID, no less. Then he finally overcomes that and then hurts his hamstring down in spring training, tracking an Adley fly ball, if memory serves. So he's had to fight his way back, but he is here. The power has always been there. And we look at a guy who's got a nice approach to the plate, too. I mean, he can hit with power to all fields, and he's a better outfielder than I guess we've been led to believe. So I like old Heston, but if he turns into a guy that helps you win the World Series, starting pitcher, that is, then That's the risk you take, man. They're just not giving you someone to make you better for nothing. You're going to have to sacrifice, and we'll see if he's that guy. I don't think he is, though. I think Rich made a good point. I mean, Santander's free agent after the year.
Right.
So somebody's got to stay. I'm guessing the guys like Norby or Stowers could be more the trade variety, but who knows?
This one here on All-Star Snubs, this texter says, just to show the absurdity of Kimbrel not making the All-Star team, he already has the same number of saves he had all last year when he actually was an All-Star with Philly. Lower ERA as well. The Yankee bias with Holmes wins again.
Yeah, and Holmes, I think, went through, what was it, April without a run? His earned run average was zero. But he's been getting touched up a little bit, and they're going in opposite directions. And Kimbrel's been outstanding. Let's just keep this momentum flowing with him. He's only given one earned run in his last 21 innings. He has four saves already in the month of July, and it's only the 8th. So this is a guy, again, 2 months ago, lost his job. That debacle in Washington, everybody wanted him out of here. He's washed up. He stinks. Now we're sitting here saying he should be on the All-Star team, and he should be.
Another one here on the Orioles says the O's lineup has stepped up with big offensive games against elite pitching all year. Looks like they're going to see Imanaga at some point this week with the Cubs. Another great test for the offense.
Yeah, he might be throwing tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, who made the All-Star team for Chicago. Yeah, the Orioles, what they do to Wheeler, what they do to Cole. I mean, the Seattle pitching staff, where everybody's good. I mean, they can break out that whipping stick. I mean, they lead the majors in homers, runs per game. It's a OPS. It's an explosive offense, and this isn't over a two-week period. This is over half a season. These guys can rake.
And one last one here on the Ravens. This texter says, I would absolutely welcome Matt Judon or Yannick Ngakoue back to the Ravens. Something tells me either Owe or Ajabo is going to be valuable this year, but only one of the two. You need a legit third to pair with them and Van Noy.
Well, the thing is with Ngakoue, how was he in the locker room? That would be the key. You know, was he a good teammate in there? That would be an issue. With Judon, it's all about the money and how much you would have to give to trade for him. So I don't see the Ravens doing anything like that unless they get desperate. But with Ajabo and Owe, if one of them becomes real good, that may be what right now one has been hurt a lot and the other's been average.
Yeah, if one of them's real good, you're just hoping Van Noy doesn't have a significant drop-off.
No doubt.
From last year. 60 sacks, they led the NFL during the regular season. Going to have to replace some of those because Jadeveon Clowney has moved on to the Carolina Panthers. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access is coming up next tomorrow. We're going to have Kevin Allstriker. We're going to have Ryan Ripken. Other surprises for you as we get you ready for the Orioles and Cubs. Baltimore baseball tonight, as a matter of fact, will be at 5:30 live from Pickles. Me and Jim Hunter, brought to you by Salvo, as we talk Orioles closing out the homestand prior to the All-Star break with the Chicago Cubbies, and they travel well, their fans, and then the Yankees this weekend. They're always fun to deal with. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed. Yeah, I remember last week, we're like, I don't know any of the U.S. guys playing tennis anymore. Well, we knew a new one. Well, Francis Tiafoe played well last week in defeat. But how about Taylor Fritz? Takes out Zverev, the number four seed in five sets. He was down 0-2.
Yeah.
Then won the last three, 6-3 in the finale. So Taylor Fritz, 13th seed, advances to the round of eight now out here at Wimbledon. So here we go. We've gotten acquainted with a couple of U.S. men's tennis players and doing some really good things out there as, you know, representing the old U.S. of A. So that's some good news there. Orioles are off tonight. Ravens rookies report in less than a week. A week from today, Lamar Jackson will be at one winning drive. Now, the media does not get access until the 20th, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it 20th or 21st, I think?
Well, practice doesn't start till the 21st.
Yeah.
But I don't know when rookies report, if I'm trying to find the email real quick. If like Harbs or select players will get up there and speak at the podium, because I know you can't watch training camp until the vets are there.
Right. Right. So it doesn't really matter too much, I guess.
Yeah, it does. I'm sick of looking at this cut sheet for the last.
Yeah. Well, that's a Saturday they would report, and they practice Sunday, so we'll have plenty of stuff on that Monday.
But a week from today, Lamar Jackson, quarterbacks, and injured vets report and get ready for the start of training camp 2024. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people before Inside Access takes over?
No, the people, they want to talk here. A lot of texts.
Let's do it.
Funhouse.
Quick draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter says, I would hate to see Heston Kjerstad traded after just now getting a real chance at the major league level. He's showing exactly why he was drafted where he was years ago. Not the traditional route to the big leagues, but he is the real deal.
I mean, the kid had a very, very serious health scare. He had myocarditis.
Yeah.
In the throes of COVID, no less. Then he finally overcomes that and then hurts his hamstring down in spring training, tracking an Adley fly ball, if memory serves. So he's had to fight his way back, but he is here. The power has always been there. And we look at a guy who's got a nice approach to the plate, too. I mean, he can hit with power to all fields, and he's a better outfielder than I guess we've been led to believe. So I like old Heston, but if he turns into a guy that helps you win the World Series, starting pitcher, that is, then that's the risk you take, man. They're just not giving you someone to make you better for nothing. You're going to have to sacrifice, and we'll see if he's that guy. I don't think he is, though. I think Rich made a good point. I mean, Santander's a free agent after the year.
Right.
So somebody's got to stay. I'm guessing the guys like Norby or Stowers could be more the trade variety, but who knows?
This one here on All-Star Snubs, this texter says, just to show the absurdity of Kimbrel not making the All-Star team, he already has the same number of saves he had all last year when he actually was an All-Star with Philly, lower ERA as well. The Yankee bias with Holmes wins again.
Yeah, and Holmes, I think, went through, what was it, April without a run? His earned run average was zero. But he's been getting touched up a little bit, and they're going in opposite directions. And Kimbrel's been outstanding. Let's just keep this momentum flowing with him. He's only given one earned run in his last 21 innings. He has four saves already in the month of July, and it's only the 8th. So this is a guy, again, 2 months ago, lost his job. That debacle in Washington, everybody wanted him out of here. He's washed up. He stinks. Now we're sitting here saying he should be on the All-Star team, and he should be.
Another one here on the Orioles says the O's lineup has stepped up with big offensive games against elite pitching all year. Looks like they're going to see Imanaga at some point this week with the Cubs. Another great test for the offense.
Yeah, he might be throwing tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, who made the All-Star team for Chicago. Yeah, the Orioles, what they do to Wheeler, what they do to Cole. I mean, the Seattle pitching staff, where everybody's good. I mean, they can break out that whipping stick. I mean, they lead the majors in homers, runs per game. It's a OPS. It's an explosive offense, and this isn't over a two-week period. This is over half a season. These guys can rake.
And one last one here on the Ravens. This texter says, I would absolutely welcome Matt Judon or Yannick Ngakoue back to the Ravens. Something tells me either Owe or Ajabo is going to be valuable this year, but only one of the two. You need a legit third to pair with them and Van Noy.
Well, the thing is with Ngakoue, how was he in the locker room? That would be the key. You know, was he a good teammate in there? That would be an issue. With Judon, it's all about the money and how much you would have to give to trade for him. So I don't see the Ravens doing anything like that unless they get desperate. But with Ajabo and Owe, if one of them becomes real good, hey, that may be what right now one is – been hurt a lot and the other's been average.
Yeah, if one of them's real good, you're just hoping Van Noy doesn't have a significant drop off.
No doubt.
From last year. 60 sacks, they led the NFL during the regular season. Gonna have to replace some of those because Jadeveon Clowney has moved on to the Carolina Panthers. That's gonna do it for us. Inside Access is coming up next tomorrow. We're gonna have Kevin Allstriker. We're gonna have Ryan Ripken. Other surprises for you as we get you ready for the Orioles and Cubs. Baltimore baseball tonight, as a matter of fact, will be at 5:30 live from Pickles. Me and Jim Hunter, brought to you by Salvo, as we talk Orioles closing out the homestand prior to the All-Star break with the Chicago Cubbies, and they travel well, their fans, and then the Yankees this weekend. They're always fun to deal with. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.